Live webcast with agenda. So good. Going.
6 o'clock. Luke, if you want to open up and let me know when we're ready to go.
Want to do the brand?
Yeah.
Recording in progress.
Well, welcome this evening. I call to order the meeting of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, and I would ask Councilmember Borbeau to lead us in a pledge to our flag.
All right, thank you. Please stand and join me in saluting our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Charles. Roll call, please.
Here.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Funk.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present. Thank you. Well, welcome and Happy New Year, Atascadero. If you are watching or listening to our City Council meeting this evening, we welcome you. If you would like to speak during the time set aside for community forum or for the public comment on any one of the items on our agenda, you can do so in a couple of ways. One, if you're on the webinar, simply press the raise hand icon when I ask you to do so, and we'll call on you for public comment. Another way is if you're listening on KPRL, or perhaps you are watching on Charter, Channel 20, you can call in, and that number is 805-538-2888 to provide public comment via phone. Again, 805-538-2888. And when you call, let us know which item you'd like to speak on, and we will get you in the queue. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. A second.
Thank you. I've got a motion by Councilmember Funk, second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom, and we will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And I'll now ask our city attorney, Mr. Brian Pirick, if we have any reportable items from our closed session of December 14th, 2021.
Yes, we do. There was a decision by the council to authorize the city to join as a party in a petition for a writ of mandate that will be filed against the California Public Employees Retirement System. It is based on an issue regarding the employment status of the interim public works director, Doug Breeze, who was provided service to the city prior to Nick DeBar being appointed full time. So that's the announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Pirick. We have no presentations this evening, and so we'll move on to our consent calendar. The consent calendar contains items that are considered to be generally routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be approved in one motion unless there's a member of the public or the council who wishes to pull an item for further discussion. And I would like to have a not a major staff report by any means, but I would like to just have a little bit of comment on item number 5. I'll look to my colleagues and see, are there any other items that anybody wishes to pull or discuss? Seeing none, and I will look to any attendees if there's anyone that wants to pull an item from the consent calendar. All right, seeing none. Number 5 is our CAD RMS software replacement system, and this is something that we've needed to do for many years. And something that thankfully with the voters and passing D20, we're able to finally invest in this for our public safety. And also, we've had quite an increase in the expected budget price, which that does happen. But what I'd like to do is ask our police chief, Chief Masterson. If you wouldn't mind coming on and let the public know a little bit, because this really is a big investment, and let us know well, kind of what we're getting for our money and how excited you are about it.
Absolutely. Sorry, I just had to turn a fan off in the background so it wouldn't be blowing across the microphone. Yes, thank you, Mayor and council members, for just the opportunity to speak a little bit about our CAD RMS system. And for the public who may not have the agenda in front of you, CAD stands for computer-aided dispatch, and RMS stands for records management system. And the latter is the portion we use in the police department to write our reports, generate the case numbers, and report all the statistical data to not only the state but the federal government that's required by law. We've had EIS, which is a system the county's had for several years, been bought out by EIS now, and it was a previous company before, all in the staff report. But the big caveat that really generated this was the requirement to have national information reporting standards implemented by January 1, 2021. And then, of course, California created the California Information-Based Reporting System, which is the national standard, but and most records management systems aren't capable and we're not ready to implement the cyber systems. So we started looking for that early on. EIS was not able to do it completely for California. They did have NIBRS, but California has so many different added sections that EIS just wasn't capable of keeping up with it, and actually told us there's not much they could do. And just for an example of the requirements under the way we're doing it now, we just had an arrest of the 9 commercial burglary suspect. It took our detective sergeant 2 hours to enter the cyber's information alone on that under the current system we have. So it's a very robust system we're looking at. Mark 43 is totally cyber's integrated. They were from day one when January 1 came around. They had the implementation in place and turned it on and have been changing it as California has been changing it throughout the whole year. And since they're cloud-based, we don't have to have someone come in and physically touch our servers once we're implemented with them. It goes on the cloud, it downloads automatically, and we don't have to worry about it. This saves IT time and expense being on site, and it saves us. As a matter of fact, any agency that looks for a change in the Mark 43 system, since it is a cloud-based system, if when Mark 43 implements that change for that agency, that change is available for any other agency that wishes to implement it themselves. So it's a progressive platform where we can just look and see what everybody else is thinking of. And if it's something we like, we can incorporate it into our system as a standard feature with Mark 43. And, of course, computer-aided dispatch in today's day and age, to operate a dispatch center without computer-aided dispatch, it's up to the modern standards, state-of-the-art, is just really asking for trouble. So we're, needless to say, excited about this. The officers here at Atascadero PD had a front row seat in the review and implementation and choice selection of what we're going to. We vetted several very thoroughly, and we're really, really pleased with the final product that the committee and the city has chosen.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chief. I think it's good for the public to hear that is a big investment, and we thank the public because it is because of you passing D20 that we are able to afford something like this. And as you know, the city of Atascadero, we eke everything, every last drop we can out of every asset we have. So that EIS system is, from what I understand, kind of on its last leg and not serving us to the maximum that it can. So thank you, Chief. I do see a member of the public that would like to speak, so I will go ahead and open this item since we're discussing it up to public comment, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. I see Mr. Gary Kirkland raised his hand. There you are. Mr. Kirkland, you're muted right now.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Is this public comment?
No, this is just regarding the consent calendar right now. This is not community forum.
Okay, well, I want to do it. Sorry, I'll put my hand down.
Okay, no worries. If there's any member of the public wishing to speak on this item or any consent calendar item, go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on the phone, you can press *9. Luke, do we have any callers?
Not for this item.
Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public comment and bring it back to council for a motion.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion by Councilmember Borbeau, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we're on to updates from our city manager and Ms. Rickard.
Thank you, Mayor. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
All right. Hey, so it's that time again. We all missed it last year, but this year, this Saturday, in fact, is our 6th annual Tamale Festival. It will be held here in the Sunken Gardens downtown this Saturday, January 15th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. The festival this year will include over 20 tamale vendors from throughout California with a wide variety of tamales for purchase. Entertainment will include MC Francisco Ramirez, along with Medina Light Show Designs, plus a wide variety of wonderful live music. Emmanuel Enrique and his horse, the famous dancing horses, and the folklorica El Padricito, dancers. Plenty of other vendors will offer merchandise, crafts, adult beverages, and a lot of great food selections. We'll have bounce houses, obstacle courses, bungee jumps, face painting, balloon animals, and a new Tamale Festival themed photo booth with an adorable miniature donkey whose name is Waffles. Waffles is absolutely the cutest. Fun contests are back with the very popular Best Tamale Contest, plus a tamale eating contest, and of course the Chihuahua Costume Contest and Pet Costume Contest. There will be fireworks this time, so our fire chiefs makes the determination about allowing fireworks in the city. Since the Tamale Festival is held in the winter and with recent rainfall we've had, this is a perfect time to be able to have a fireworks display. So that will happen from 7 to 7:15 p.m. You'll be able to see them here from downtown in the Sunken Gardens. The city is very sensitive to the fact that some residents who live nearby may have pets or noise with noise sensitivities, or they themselves may be sensitive to noise. So please be aware that those will be going off from 7 to 7:15 here in the downtown on Saturday. We have sent notices to all the residents letting them know about this. I want to remind everybody the Tamale Festival is free to attend, but don't forget to bring your wallet so that you can purchase plenty of delicious foods and activities and merchandise. Also, don't forget to visit our shops and restaurants that are there on Entrada in our downtown. Lots of great places will be open. And we want to finally thank our amazing sponsors, including Golden One Credit Union, Supervisor Debbie Arnold, Waste Management, CCPN, Mechanics Bank, and Idler's Home. For more information on any city events, you can always visit our website at www.visitatascadero.com. Not quite as much fun. Well, maybe quite as much fun. I want to make sure to invite everybody to come participate in a special council meeting and joint planning session, study session that is happening on Friday, January 28th. This will be broken up into two parts. So from 1 to 5 p.m., the afternoon of Friday, January 28th, we will be discussing economic development, different economic development programs, potential use of ARPA funds for economic development and ARPA funds in general. all sorts of things from, you know, how can we stimulate more restaurants to develop here in town and other investments, to sewer capacity charges and that. We won't be making any final actions or determinations, but we'll be receiving input and direction from the council, and certainly input from the community too. And then from 6 to 9, something we've all been waiting for a very long time, will be our general plan scoping study session. This is our kickoff to our general plan update. This will be a joint city council and planning commission meeting. It's going to start from 6 to 9, and we will have the consultants there walk us through a very interactive process on trying to scope out what it is we want to accomplish as part of this general plan update process, things like community engagement, you know, goals, assets, challenges, what we want to include and not include in that update. So please tell your friends. Don't tell them I said it wouldn't be as fun as Tamale Festival. Say it'll be just as much fun as the Tamale Festival. Please come on out. We do want to hear from everybody and want people to come join us. We also have, want to talk about the 2022 burn season. So our 2022 burn season for fire hazard reduction opened on January 5th. Each day, burn status is determined by the California Air Resources Board and our local weather conditions. Before burning, residents must obtain the daily burn day status. So you have to call 805-461-5070 and select option 8. Again, that's 461-5070. Option 8 will give you the burn status. Residents should use burning as a last resort and utilize their green waste container or Chicago-grade landfill whenever possible. Burn regulations and more information can be found on our website. And be aware that the fire department will issue citations for violations. So please make sure you're only burning on burn day and that you're following all of our rules and guidelines. If you have any questions, please contact Atascadero Fire at the 805-461-5070 number or visit our website at www.atascadero.org/fire. I also want to talk to you about a new exciting fire program that we have going on. So we're very pleased to announce that SLO County Fire Safe Council has awarded Atascadero Fire and Emergency Services with grant funding for a new wildlife consultation pilot program. Initially, due to limited funding, only properties that are located in the high and very high fire severity zones on the west side of Atascadero will be eligible to sign up for this free program. Those property owners will be notified by mail with a flyer that urges them to sign up for the program before the end of February. I did receive mine over this weekend, so I saw it there in the mailbox. It's a nice little postcard. Please be on the lookout for it. And the property evaluation will include specific recommendations that the property owner can undertake to increase the survivability of their home in the event of wildfire. Fire personnel will come out and assess the property's vegetation, clearance, structural materials, and will identify any hazards that are particular to that property and residents. So this is a free one-on-one consultant with fire experts on what you can do to make your house safer. Feedback will be provided to the owner with a list of recommendations that will provide a focused approach in reducing fire hazards and home survivability. Anyone with questions about this new pilot program or wanting to know if their property is eligible is encouraged to call Fire and Emergency Services at 805-470-3300. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Thank you, Ms. Rickard. Any questions from council? Councilmember Funk.
Yes, on the joint meeting with the Planning Commission and preceded by the Economic Development Study Session with the Council on January 28th, will that be virtual or in person?
It will be virtual at this point, and with the spike in cases, it will be entirely virtual.
So members looking to join that from the public should look to the council agendas and minutes.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay. We'll have a link there. And as always, we'll have our phone number open, the 805-238-2888. I knew you would remember it, Mayor. You have to say it so many times during meetings.
After almost 2 years.
Perfect. Yes. So please do. If anybody has any challenges with that, reach out to the city and we'll try and see if we can make some other accommodations. We do want a lot of participation. We want to make it easy for everybody and safe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rickard. So we'll move on to a community forum at this time. Community forum is reserved for persons who are wishing to address the council on any matter that is not on our agenda this evening, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and a maximum of 30 minutes will be allowed for community forum. We have a timer on to assist speakers and letting you know when your time is up, and we would ask that you state your name for the record. So to start, we have Mr. Gary Kirkland.
Hi, thank you very much for allowing me to speak, and thank you for your service. What I'm calling about is SLOCOG, and the Atascadero, whoever the Atascadero member of SLOCOG is. I was told it might be the mayor, but I don't know that. And what I'm calling about is at the last SLOCOG meeting, for people who were there, said that they're considering making San Luis Obispo County a, quote, self-help county. And what does that mean? That means we're going to raise taxes on people. And it's going to be a sales tax increase to do some projects that SLOCOG wishes to do. The city of Atascadero over the last few years has passed at least two sales tax increases to improve the roads. And I'm still dodging potholes when I drive around town. And I thought we were promised that that wouldn't happen, that these sales tax increases would solve the pothole problem. Evidently, it has not. So I don't think we should give government any more money, any more sales tax increases, if they can't use the money we've already given them to solve the potholes. So I wish our representative to the SLOCOG would, the next time they get a chance, to vote no on making this a self-help county and use the money we have to fix the roads that we have and not rely on others and the state to fix our roads. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kirkland. And I would encourage you to stay on for our next agenda item because we were specifically talking about roads here in Atascadero and Measure F-14. So I would love for you to be here for that. Any other members of the public wishing to speak, you can raise your hand with that icon at the bottom of the webinar, or if you're on the phone, you can press *9. Luke, do we have any callers? I see a hand.
Yes, we have one caller. Don is on the line.
Welcome, Don.
Hello, this is Don Selesik. Do you hear me?
Yes, we do, Mr. Selesik.
Yes. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. I'm calling this evening regarding two issues that are closely related. The purpose of the call is to put these issues on the public record. It regards the installation of Charter Cable TV along San Marcos Road in Atascadero. And it also regards, which appears to be a lack of city enforcement of the construction standards of this cable. Under California Public Utilities Code General Order 95, which is summarized in Table 1, which I sent you via the city clerk's office, and also the supporting rule 84.4A5, sets minimum height of 18 feet whenever a communication cable crosses over either a suburban or rural thoroughfare. I might add that we are a rural thoroughfare, and the 18-foot height standard applies. The Atascadero Municipal Code 1-10-22 states that telecommunication construction standards must follow applicable state codes. The CUPC has informed me that it is the responsibility of the franchising authority, which is you, the City of Atascadero, to issue encroachment permits and enforce rules governing cable operations within their jurisdiction. The Charter Cable crosses San Marcos Road 26 times along its 1.8 mile length. I have physically measured 15 locations where it is not 18 foot high. Charter has the option to underground the cable where it does not meet the 18 foot standards, and in fact has in several places undergrounded the cable. In conclusion, I request that the city properly enforces General Order 95 and instructs Charter to immediately remove all cables that do not meet the 18-foot standard. I would also like you to refer to General Order 95 in 84.4A5. In review it carefully and understand that the 18-foot application of the cable above the roadway does in fact apply to San Marcos Road. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions, I will be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Selassic. We appreciate your comments. If there's any other members of the public wishing to speak, go ahead and raise your hand now or press *9 if you're on the phone. Luke, do we have any other callers wishing to speak?
We do not.
Okay. So,
Mayor, I had a question on the city manager's report before we move on.
Okay, so we'll come back to that after we wrap up community forum. Okay, so we'll go ahead and close community forum. And since we have no one else wishing to speak at this time, I guess I can't say I'll close it, but community forum will remain open until 6:50 p.m. And at this time, council will move on to the next item. But if anyone would like to speak for community forum, raise your hand or call 805-538-2888 before that period has ended, which again is 6:50 p.m. And you will be recognized to speak at the earliest possible convenience, which will be, or opportunity, which will be once whatever item we're discussing ends. So with that, with regards to the two speakers, Mr. Selassic, would ask just that staff, ask our city manager to connect with Mr. Selassic on that 18-foot high standard. I know that you have been speaking with him, and we want to make sure that whatever Charter is supposed to be doing, we're grateful that they're bringing high-speed broadband to an area that has desperately needed it. But we do want to make sure the rules are being followed. So we would ask that you would follow up with him. And then to let Mr. Kirkland know that at the last SLOCOG meeting, we did not vote on a sales tax measure, on a self-help measure of any kind. That is something that was on the ballot back in 2016, if I'm remembering correctly, and it failed. It is an item that has been discussed, repeatedly by various board members have brought that up over time. Staff has talked about it. So it is certainly a subject of conversation amongst many on the board, but we have not had a coordinated conversation about it, nor have we had a vote on it. So just to clarify that. And with that, I would ask Councilmember Borbo, you've got a question for our city manager.
I do. Thank you. And I got to forewarn you, I'm on my end, I'm hearing you break up, and so my signal may be bad, and you probably didn't see me have my hand raised at the at the end of the city manager's report. And it's back on the fire safe grant. Since that's a grant, and of course, we only have one fire marshal, who's actually going to be doing these inspections for the homeowners? Is it going to be somebody we're hiring through the grant, or who's going to be doing that?
You know, I will turn that over to the chief because I do not know.
Thank you for the question. Yes, so we have a passionate group of people in my department that have experience with the Forest Service and heavy in fuels management. And so I have a group of four of them led by our Battalion Chief Fire Marshal Dave Vanson. So he'll be leading the program with the help of Captain Brennan Roberts and two of our other employees. So initially it will be those four employees making all the consultations. And then we hope to expand the program and get a few more people involved so we kind of bring it throughout the department. But initially we're gonna keep it to a smaller group that we feel have the best expertise in that area.
Their additional staff time will be covered by the grants then?
It will, yes. The grant covers basically the staff time and the marketing and the advertising, the mailers. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. And now we will move on to, we have no public hearings, but we'll move on to our management report, which is the fiscal year 2021 annual road report. And I'll turn this over to our public works director, Mr. Nick DeBar.
Let me try this again.
Is the presentation up?
Yes, it is.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Moreno. Again, this is an annual report we usually do in January. It's administrative services department also has a huge role in this with this report. In fact, the lion's share of it. But really originates from Measure F-14. The council did adopt an ordinance back in July 2014 that has accountability for the Measure F-14 monies that are collected. This annual report includes essentially financial statements and revenue and expenditure information. Measure F-14 went into effect in April of 2015. The reporting period is on a fiscal year, so July through June. This period ended last summer, and total revenue collected for that period was $2,832,000. There was also interest of $11,000 that was collected. It earned almost $56,000, and counting adjustments to fair market value decreased that down to that $11,000 number. Here's a quick snapshot of the expenditures by project. So a lot of these projects extend over multiple years. That reporting period doesn't always fit nice and neat. And these projects do take often about a year and a half or sometimes 2 years to complete with all the residual expenditures that happen. But during this reporting period, you can see the 2020 pavement rehab project was the lion's share of the expenditures, but a total expenditures of a little more than $2.6 billion. The fund balance at the end of this reporting period was $4,474,858. I might add there's almost of that amount, and I don't want anybody watching from the public to think or the council to think that we're trying to build up a big nest egg here. We're not. It's just, again, those projects don't always fall in nice and neat. We always have money in that fund balance. But of this amount, there was almost $2.9 million that was already committed that hadn't been spent on construction. That's probably been spent a lion's share of that since that reporting period. Another aspect that we always do each year is put out this brochure. We mail this to every residents in town. It kind of gives a snapshot of both
you know, that financial statement project summary. There's almost 30 miles of road that we've already done. We're about halfway through, a little over halfway through this measure, which is a 12-year measure. And then the other piece of this is we also want to tell people what's coming up. So we also have a map in there and then a listing of road segments that people can expect in 2022. This Citizen Sales Tax Oversight Committee, CSTOC, they actually reviewed the annual report on December 16th and approved it. So they are also recommending approval of this report to the City Council. So two things. They also, the CSTOC also looked at the Community Roads Report and endorsed that as well. So recommendations tonight is to approve the fiscal year 2021 annual road report and approve the 2021 Community Road Report. And the Community Road Report will be mailed out probably sometime early February, I would expect it to hit people's mailbox, or mid-February to hit people's mailboxes. And with that, I can take any questions.
Thank you, Director. I have to say, when I saw that report and I saw that number, 29.57 centerline miles, you know, in the beginning, it's like, oh, 3.7. Okay, you know, another 2.5, and it all just slowly adds up. But now, after, you know, as you said, about halfway through this measure, to see 29.57 miles, which is a little over 20% of city-maintained roads, and that, of course, doesn't include the local transportation funds that we also use on roads, especially some of the larger ones like El Camino Real. So it's really, really fun to see that that progress actually start to be made, and so many members of the public saying, you know, oh, you know, my road's been done, or this road, and they're noticing that, and so it's great to hear that. And I don't want you to go into, you know, like a big long, you know, explanation of how we choose roads, but just if you could maybe in a 1 to 2 minute, you know, we've talked about it many times and we have it on the website, but let the public know how we actually choose the roads. It's not the council that chooses them. And in essence, it's really not staff that's sitting there, you know, picking roads. There's science that goes into that.
Yeah, there sure is. And the mayor knows I love talking about this stuff, but I will be very succinct, I promise. But we do evaluate each road every 5 years, and we hire a consultant to do that. They're trained and looking for quantity and quality of distresses in the roadway, and summarizing that, entering that information into a software program called StreetSaver. StreetSaver is used by the majority of road authorities around the country and throughout the world, so it's very tried and true. And what that does is, so that kicks back what's called the pavement condition index on 0 to 100. 100 is a brand new road. And then the city has breakpoints that we put in there, so we try to, and we put budgetary numbers as well. So we try to catch the roads that are about to fall into a state of disrepair that would cost more to do if we waited another couple years versus doing it now. So we want to get as much mileage, no pun intended, out of each of those roads in those different states that they are. So if you need an overlay on a road, we want to do that before it fall. If we wait a couple years, that might fall into a state of disrepair where we might have to do a full depth reclamation, and that might cost, you know, as much as 20 times more to do. So we look at it in a comprehensive way, and we pick the roads. We let StreetSaver, based on the amount of money that we have to spend in each budgeted fund, we enter that in there, and then that kicks back a list of roads that it recommends we do, and staff here, the engineering staff, look at that. And then we also have five different districts in Atascadero, so we've got such a big town that we try to do those projects, individual projects each year, one of those districts. So I guess that's maybe a, hopefully that makes sense. And it's not as complicated as it sounds, but there is some scientific method to it.
No, there definitely is. It's like everything we do in Atascadero, we get the most we can out of every dollar, and you're very good at helping us to do that. And one of the great things that we had learned, I believe it was last year, was that even with F-14, it was predicted that our overall pavement condition index rating would come down. And in fact, that was incorrect. We've started to reverse that trend, and it has increased. We were, I believe, at 47 citywide, and is it now up to 51, Nick?
It was 50 when we had it last rated in 2019. And in this community road report, on that first page on the left-hand panel there, it kind of has all those, a breakdown based on, you know, condition and everything else. But it's got the 2014, it's got the 2019 condition on there. So, when we first talked about this, when I first started, that was one of the first things I was doing. But we predicted that we were going to lose three PCI points over that course of time. We actually increased and reversed that trend. So, pavement management is actually working. That critical point management actually does work. So.
Thank you. And again, thank you to the voters. It is due to you that we've been able to do those 29.57 miles over the last just few years. So thank you, Director. I know we do have someone from our Citizen Sales Tax Oversight Committee who is in the attendees, but I'll hold off on that and see if there are any questions from council before we go to the public, and I will invite any member of the public, including our CSTOC member, to speak. Councilmember Funk.
Two questions here. First, one of the road segments that's slated to be done in the next batch is Senegal Road, and is described as being from Laurel Road to its end. Can you clarify what its end is relative to the new segment of Senegal Road that has been built but is not yet open to the public, as I understand it, that goes up the slope at a substantial slope?
Sure. So end is basically before, when there was a dead end on that road. That's how it's listed in the pavement management software. So since that time, up in Oak Ridge Estates, that Senegal Road connects up to San Marcos Road. So it would be from Laurel Road to where that new road begins. So the new pavement, if you drive out there, you'll see where the new pavement starts at the bottom of the hill, or a little past the bottom of the hill. It would be to that point.
And is that newer segment of the road then, is that open yet to the public?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And then I recall from some earlier calculations that by virtue of the public having invested in the F-14 sales tax measure, that we had moved from being able to address only a mile or two of pavement a year to basically being able to address each segment of road in Atascadero once every 30 years. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, that might even be a little generous.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that in terms of setting expectations, that being able to begin addressing a problem that was allowed to deteriorate for a long period of time does not mean that we will instantly fix the pothole problem, that we will now be able to start managing the roads on a better basis over time, but it is not an instant cure.
Yeah, and really, this money for F-14 is really not spent on the El Camino Real, not spent on Santa Rosa. It's spent on neighborhood roads, so with functional roadway classifications as collectors and as local. So really, this was sold, and I really, truly believe this is being delivered in that spirit of neighborhood roads, the roads that people live on, the roads that they drive on to get to those busier roads and to the freeway each day. So those are the roads that weren't really getting a lot of attention prior to this measure. It was always, if we had money for roads, we were spending it on those arterial roads that most vehicles use.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Darris.
Nick, I think I heard you say that there's an outside source that surveys the roads for the grant. What is the cost for something like that?
Oh, geez. I can't even remember. They plug it into the software system and help us maintain it. I think last go around it was, it was around $20,000 to $25,000.
And that, how often do we get them to do that?
About every 5 years.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
It's important to keep the same people, and we actually had the same person that rated in 2014 that rated it in 2019. Because you could get a different firm, they might look at things slightly different, but. So that really is, depiction of apples to apples, because you had the same set of eyes that rated in 5 years apart, and that was so ticking up 3 points was great.
Right. Yeah. Consistency is obviously important in this. So thank you.
Any other council questions before we go to the public? I'm seeing none, so I'll go ahead and open up public comment. And I do see our one CSTOC member, Jeff Oslin, with his hand raised. And anyone else who would like to speak, go ahead and raise your hand or press *9 on the phone.
Good evening, Council and Director DeBart. As a member of CSTOC, I will tell you that I think it was something like 323 pages in the last review that we did. It was insane. And our director has a tough job because this entire oversight committee does due diligence and reads it from cover to cover. And we can tell you that outside of about 3.5 hours that he had to adjust with all the time, that was 99% accurate on where funds were spent. And it was pretty amazing because we definitely quizzed them pretty hard. So it's a great success. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin, and thank you for serving on our Citizen Sales Tax Oversight Committee. Any other members of the public wishing to speak, please do go ahead and press *9 on the phone or raise your hand. Do we have any callers, Luke?
We do not.
Right. And Mayor, if I may, Director Rangel, I should have said, is also available to answer any questions or report. Her and her staff do the lion's share of this, the reporting. My staff, we just spend the money and build the roads. So Director Rangel, I want to really single her out because they do a great job on this report.
Sure. All right. Well, good. We gave another member of the public time to decide to speak. So we've got Deborah McCrell.
All right. Can you hear me? All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Welcome, everyone, Mayor and Council members. I'm so happy that we got some roads paved. That's been a long time coming, and they're wonderful to drive on, and it's just delightful. I was looking at the interactive map on the website, and it looks like it doesn't have, it just has a past dated projects, and so I was wondering if you'll be putting the future projects. It's a lot easier to kind of look at the map than to read the street names. And so when I was looking for reference, that's kind of what I was looking for, to see if you're going to be near some parts of town that are of my concern. And then kind of wanted to ask about that, too, is to inquire, you know, if you are very nearby, but maybe not paving there, who would we talk to just is about getting a little more questions answered there?
Questions or comments now, and then when we close public comment, we'll address everything.
Okay, so just, yeah, how we would get in touch to let them know, because there are some roads that we've owned property on, like Cayucas, right behind El Camino, Hermosillo, and San Jacinto hook up to them. So there's been some paving really close by, and the rains, you know, it's just insane. It doesn't go anywhere it should, and the drainage, and I've seen cities even put out, I believe, sandbags. So there are definitely some issues. My property happens to be on the corner where sandbags have been put. And so it's just been in some pretty rough shape for a while. So that was all. I just was hoping to see a map to a future. So thank you very much for all of your work on that. It's great to see.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any other member of the public, go ahead and raise your hand or press *9. And I am seeing none, so I'm going to go ahead and close public comment and bring that back to staff and council. So, Director, might you be able to answer Ms. McCrell's question about putting a map up of the future projects that are planning to be done?
Sure. And on the city's website, you can get it through the Public Works website and then go to the F14. I think it even might be on the homepage of the city's website on the bottom left, but we have a lot of information on there on the F14 program. We try to keep that as up to date as possible. Sometimes we go a little long without updating some of these information, but it is definitely on our radar. And you can go on there and see all the roads that are selected. As far as getting on that interactive map, I can talk to maybe Luke about seeing what we can do on that. But that interactive map that Ms. McCrell mentioned really shows like those maintained and non-maintained streets. Mm-hmm. And some of those roads that she had mentioned, Cayucas, Hermosillo, segments of those are non-maintained. That might be why they're in the condition that they are in. And, you know, if she has any questions, she can always reach out to Public Works Engineering at 470-3456, or just email publicworks@atascadero.org, and we can help her out. And there's myself or Ryan Hayes or other staff here that can answer any questions she has.
Thank you, Director. And I do know that when the rains come, we've got sand at Fire Station 1 for those that do want sand to fill up their sandbags. We don't supply the bags, but we do supply the sand, so that is available for any residents needing it. All right. Any other questions? I see maybe Councilmember Bourbeau is starting to...
Well, yeah. Thank you. Actually, no, I wasn't quite going to raise my hand, but I did have a question. And also, just for clarification, Nick, when you referred to a road being non-maintained, you meant non-city maintained.
Right.
Some of the roads a person might inquire about might be a non-city maintained road, but that is on the website as well in terms of identifying whether your road or section of road is city maintained or not. That you can find that on the website, right?
That's correct. It's that interactive map, that GIS map, that you can find that.
And if I recall right, we have 130 miles of city-maintained roads. We have another 30 miles of roads in the city that are not maintained by the city, which sometimes comes as a surprise, especially to new residents. So that's an important piece, puzzle. In terms of... and the mayor had said it well, that, you know, before this sales tax measure, we were in a state of continual decline and our pavement condition index was going down. And we expected even with this additional revenue, we would at best be able to maintain it. But instead, we've actually, through your good management, been able to increase it. What confused me on the little brochure we're going to send everybody, which overall I think is a very great product, is the little chart that shows our road conditions and breaks it down between excellent, good, fair, and failed. Is given the progress we've made, and I think, as the mayor noted, we're now up to 30 miles, that most people or almost anybody driving around town can see the evidence of the good work here. It may not be directly their road, but you know, it's on a road that leads to their where they live sort of thing, that they can see the progress. And but what I'm confused about is, given that we've made progress, this table there, and I hope you see which one I'm referring to, doesn't look like progress. it looks like, you know, the number of excellent roads went down. You know, the good roads only went up by as much as the fair roads, or you know, they went up some. That's a good thing. But that the failed roads went up as much as the poor roads went down. So am I missing something in terms of the way that's calculated? Because overall, this program is a great success, but it's like that table doesn't really feel like it reflects.
Right, and it's a very interesting table, and that's why I kind of put it in there and put we made sure we had both 2014 and 2019, so you can see the excellent percentage of the excellent roads actually went down, and the percentage of failed roads actually increased. But you got to look really kind of in that breakpoint area, you know, that's where critical point management comes in. The good roads, we actually increased from 9% to 14% of the road system is now kind of 5%. Fair roads actually went down 3%, but the poor roads went from 39 to 30% over that 5-year period too. So, and then failed roads went down some as well. Failed roads, once they fail, I mean, you know, some of the poor roads, you know, it just depends. I haven't really analyzed this and looked really into the details, but, you know, some of those roads were, poor roads were probably already going to fail, go into that failed category regardless. And those are the roads that are very expensive to repair. So we really try to focus, and some of those we just got to do. Right, and it's going to come up on critical point management. But where a lot of those roads come up are PCIs of around 70, you know, and then again around, you know, I believe it was, boy, I forget. It's like 40, you know, 30 to 40 in that category. So we try to catch those before they really get into that next level of disrepair.
Right, and I think that's an important point you made, because you end up, I mean, some folks will say, well, this road is worse than that road. Why didn't you fix that road, you know, the worst one first? And it's like, well, that really bad one isn't going to get any worse. Or if we, you know, fix this other one now, we can save it from dropping into a worse category. And that's partly why the table, in my mind, kind of didn't reflect the positive picture that we're seeing on the ground and the overall increase in PCI. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but I do want to understand that when you take a road and it's in reasonable shape, and you're able to fix it up with a new resurfacing, you know, a less expensive treatment, does that, you know, when I drive on one of our newly redone roads, it feels like 100 to me. But of course, I'm not an engineer. I don't know, you know. But when I drive on it, like a couple of years ago, you guys had fixed Balboa near me, which had been really, really bumpy, especially if you're riding a bike or something like that. You know, noisy in the car. Now it's smooth sailing. Feels like a 100. Is the ones we see that are done and look really nice, are they not necessarily 100?
Not necessarily. So it depends a lot on what treatment was done. So we have the surface treatment or resurfacing type projects. These are often like 1/10 of a micro surfacing, they call. So it's just a very thin overlay on it. It does smooth it out. It looks brand new, but it doesn't really add a lot of structure to the pavement. So the pavements that really get structure added to it, those that are overlaid, those that have, dig outs and overlays or full depth reclamations, when those are complete, those are have a PCI of 100. But a roadway that might have been microsurfaced, much like, after Southern California Gas put in that high-pressure distribution line, all of that El Camino was microsurface, but you could see some of that is wearing off now, and you can see the old, dips and other things and cracks in it now. So those that aren't overlaid, at least with an overlay or reconstructed, they aren't necessarily a PCI of 100. Balboa was a PCI of 100.
Thank you. And so overall, this has been a great, in my mind, very successful program, and the council has done exactly what it told the citizen we would do, which is to spend the money on neighborhood roads. And so I consider this program a great success. So thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments or a motion? Councilmember Funk.
This is not necessarily a question for Nick, but I was wondering, since the oversight of this to the public, the guaranteeing that we are, that the council is spending this money the way that that was promised to on those neighborhood roads, is done by our Citizens Tax Oversight Committee. I was wondering if somebody could read out the names of our current Citizens Tax Oversight Committee so we can thank them for their service.
And if you'd like to do that, Director?
I think it's in, and maybe Director Engel.
It is in here. I just thought if you wanted to read it, but I'm happy to do that.
No, I don't have that in front of me. So if you could do it, Mayor, that'd be great.
Be fine.
Yes, we've got, and so the Sales Tax Citizen Oversight Committee is represented by two members of the at-large public, which are appointed by the City Council every 2 years, and then by other community groups who each designate one of their members to be a member of CSTOC. And so representing the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce is the chairperson of CSTOC, which is Robert Grigger-Jones. He's been with us for quite some time, and we really appreciate his service. From Atascadero Kiwanis, Jeff Oslin, who we heard from this evening. From the Atascadero Land Preservation Society, we have Ms. Ellen Bayreau. From the Veterans Memorial, Mr. Gary Elliott. From the Atascadero Rotary Club, Don Giesinger. From Atascadero Kiwanis, we also have Jeff Waite. And two at-large members, we have Tony Villa and Max Zappas. And then we do have a vacant position from the Atascadero Unified School District, so I hope to get that filled soon. But thank you for that, Councilmember Funk. Thank you all for your service. We know that taking several hours out of your day, while it might not be the same as a council meeting, it is your time, and we really appreciate you serving in that role. And thank you so much. And with that, do we have a motion?
I would move approval of the report as recommended by staff.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Councilmember Darris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
All right, we are on to our council announcements and committee reports. And so I will just go with my Hollywood squares and starting upper left, Council Member Funk.
Yes, two things. The Atascadero Groundwater, Atascadero Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency, say it, no, fast several times in a row, is having its big moment as we are slated to go through and give approval to the sustainability plan. That is on January 19th at 4:30 p.m. And I believe that is an in-person meeting at this point, although that might be up in the air. So check and see if that holds, but that we will be dealing with that plan. And then the Homeless Services Oversight Council, which is also meeting on the 19th at 1:00 in the afternoon, and that will be a virtual meeting.
Thank you. Council Member Darris.
I don't have anything to report.
Council Member Borbeau.
Yes, thank you. Tomorrow I have an Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting. Figured out that we had between the full board and the The executive committee had 30 meetings last year because of all the things happening. And but tomorrow we will start off the year with consideration of hiring an interim executive director while we pursue a permanent executive director, which we have engaged a search firm, Avery and Associates, to assist with that. So we were considering bringing on board interim executive director tomorrow. Also, we are working through some committee meetings amending the JPA, the Joint Powers Agreement. So we had another meeting regarding that last week. So that there's more work to be done on that. Hopefully it'll come to the full IWMA board in February and then would be referred out to the jurisdictions, including, of course, our city for ratification. And we're also working through a rate increase to cover the additional cost of implementing 1383, which now is technically in effect as of the 1st of January. And so there's a lot of issues around that as well. So I think that's it for the IWMA. I did attend a meeting last week of the Water Resources Advisory Council. One thing struck my mind I meant to ask the mayor or city manager about is I saw a reference in one of the reports to $120,000 REAP allocation made by SLOCOG to a test get a share would be 120K. And I was going to ask what if either the mayor who sits on SLOCOG or city manager knew what that was. And I forgot to ask each of you during my separate side sessions with you. I don't know if that rings any bells, Heather.
If I remember correctly, and Rochelle, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that is related to the ADU regional project that we're working on with other cities.
That is my recollection also.
Yeah, because I didn't get the correlation to water, but I guess, you know, of course, anybody making plans for additional ADUs, you know, needs to ensure they have, you know, enough water to handle it, which in Atascadero we certainly do since we do not have a water shortage here. So, all right, that's those are my two reports. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Councilmember Funk.
Apologies, Madam Mayor. I missed one on my notes.
Oh, sure.
I don't have a final word on this, but I had reported to this council earlier that the point in time count of homeless persons would be taken on at the end of January. I believe the 26th of January was that date. There is now active discussion because the COVID outbreak with the Omicron variant has hit so many of our agencies so hard, both our law enforcement officers in various jurisdictions, you know, that help out on the CAT teams and do other outreach, and our homeless services agencies like ECHO and Five Cities Homeless Coalition. There's active talk about pushing that date to the end of February, and that there's a 10-day window in which the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development will allow us to do that. So I am guessing that's going to go through, given how badly people are slammed, but I don't have final word on it.
Thank you for that update. We had our mayor's meeting. I mentioned that Maria Kelly, who is consulting with the Pacific Coast Broadband Consortium, one of those acronyms has to do with Pacific Coast Broadband. Talking to the mayors about, you know, I mentioned the regional approach that's going to be needed, and she said some of the first steps that we need to be looking at, and I know that we as a city will be looking at. Number one is a dig once policy, and so that's something that we need to take a look at. We also need to make sure that broadband has a place in our general plan, and so of course this is perfect timing. I'm also going to be meeting with the mayor of Paso and some of our city staff to, you know, even approach this if we can from a North County perspective, but we know we can't go it alone. In order to get the funding that's available, we've got to, my understanding is, be taking some action in terms of applications fairly soon, but it's got to be a regional approach. So I will keep you posted on that. RTM SLOCOG, I will announce that we did not vote on a sales tax measure at that meeting. We were going to have a bus maintenance facility grand opening on the 20th. The progress has been tremendous, and it's ready to get going, but with COVID, they have postponed that. So I'll let you know when that comes up in the future. And that is it for my reports for now. And we will go ahead and go to individual determination or action. Any council members, any staff? I am seeing none. So I'm going to go ahead and recess our meeting our regular meeting to the successor agency meeting. So I will call the meeting of the City Council in the capacity of the successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero to order. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Funk.
Here.
Councilmember Daris.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Also move.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbo, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. On to the consent calendar. Any member of the council that would like to pull an item from the consent calendar? Seeing none, any member of the public who would like to pull an item? Seeing none, a motion to approve the consent calendar, please.
Also move.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Borbo, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
We're on to community forum. This is the portion of our meeting reserved for persons wishing to address the board on any matter not on this agenda and over which the board has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we'll turn on the timer to let you know when your time is up, and we ask that you would state your name for the record. If you wish to speak, go ahead and raise your hand or press *9. Luke, do we have anyone on the phone?
We do not.
All right. Last call. Seeing no one wishing to speak, we will go ahead and close public comment or community forum and bring it back to council. We have no public hearings, but we do have one management report, which is approval of the recognized obligation payment schedule 22-23, which is July 1, 2022 to June 30, 2023, and the fiscal year 22-23 administrative budget. And I'll turn that over to our administrative services director, Ms. Jerry Rangel.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. This evening, let's see, go ahead and pull this up really fast. We're just going to go over the annual ROPS report that we have. Get this going real quick. Okay, can you see the presentation?
No. Now it's coming.
Okay.
There we go.
Terrific. So this is just our annual required obligation payment schedule that is required to be submitted to you sitting as the successor agency and then also to the countywide oversight board. So, as I said, each year we have to go through this. This is for fiscal year 22-23, so start this coming July and go through the following June, which will cover both the obligated payments and the administrative budget. The estimated redevelopment property tax trust fund, RPTTF, funding that we're requesting is $1,863,632. This is for bond debt service, bond compliance items, and administrative allowance. The Oversight Board will consider the ROPS 22-23 and the fiscal year 22-23 administrative budget at their meeting later this month on the 28th. And it must be certified by the county and then approved by the Department of Finance before that funding will start to flow in July. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from Council? Seeing none, I will open up to public comment. We can go ahead and raise your hand or press star 9 if anyone would like to speak on this item. Luke, anyone on the phone?
No.
All right. Seeing no one wish to speak, I will close the public comment and bring it back for a motion.
So moved to approve the staff's recommendation.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom and a second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Werbo?
We didn't hear you, Charles.
Yes, I'm sorry. All I heard was council member and then a pause and then Darris. Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
All right. Any board announcements and or reports? Councilmember Funk.
Taking us back for a moment, I think there might be an error to correct in the minutes on this entity that I didn't catch earlier in my glance. And that's this in a January 12, 2021 meeting, the motion is being recorded as being made by Roberta Fonzi. And I don't think she was on the council at that point. So that would be, it's on page 5 of 17 at the bottom in this particular.
Actually, that would have been in 20, so she was on.
That would have been from the 2020.
That would have been from 2020.
It also says Mayor Pro Tem Werbo.
Okay, this is from the minutes are dated Tuesday, January 12, 2021. That's why I wondered whether that was.
Good point.
Whether that was actually accurate. Could we authorize, may I make a motion that we authorize staff to make a correction if necessary?
I would ask our city clerk, does that suffice if something needs to be corrected?
The motion was already made on the minutes, so I'm not sure. Maybe Mr. Parrott can come in. I think we'd have to open it back up. There's some logistics that have to go down since we already made that. If it's a clerical because she wasn't on it, I can just fix it. I mean, if there's not a change other than I made a clerical mistake putting the wrong person, I can go and fix that. But if we're trying to change something else in the minutes, then we have to reopen it since the motion was already made and accepted.
Laura, if you look at five, as Councilmember Funk said, it has, after my closing public comment, it has a motion by Councilmember Fonzi and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Werbo to adopt resolution SA 2021-001. And so that would not have been a correct in 2021.
Right. So that's what but since we can't make a new motion now when we don't have an item on the. So that's what I mean. If it's just a clerical error on my end, I can go back and fix it. But if we need to do a motion and stuff, we have more logistics we have to jump through to open the item back up because we've already made a motion and accepted and closed that item. That's where I was with that. And I was wondering if Mr. Herrick could weigh in on that. Because off the top of my head, I don't remember how that all works.
Clerical corrections typically are ones that apply to ordinances. I'm not seeing it applied to minutes. My suggestion is this. Why don't we just do a motion for reconsideration of the prior motion where the minutes were approved? And then also as part of that motion, provide direction to staff to review the record and to make whatever correction, if any, is necessary. And if somebody just wants to say whatever the city attorney just said, they could do that, and then somebody could second that.
Whatever the city attorney said,
I'll second it.
My mayor, from,
Mayor.
I'll second.
Second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Falk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any board announcements or reports? Seeing none, we will adjourn to the meeting of the Public Financing Authority. We will now call the meeting to order the Public Financing Authority for Atascadero, and I will ask for a roll call, please.
Board Member Borbo?
Yes.
Board Member Darris?
Here. Here.
Board Member Funk?
Here.
Vice Chair Newsom?
Here.
Chair Moreno?
Here.
All present.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Move.
I'll second.
Motion by Council Member Borbo, second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. Roll call, please.
Board Member Borbo?
Board
Member Borbo?
Yes.
Board Member Borbo?
Yes.
Board Member Darris?
Yes.
Board Member Funk?
Yes.
Vice Chair Newsom?
Yes.
Chair Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
We're on to community forum. This is reserved for persons wanting to address the Public Financing Authority on any matter not on the agenda, but over which the board has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we ask that you would state your name for the record. If there's anyone in the meeting, go ahead and raise your hand or press star 9 if you would like to speak. Luke, do we have any callers?
We do not.
All right. I'll go ahead and bring it back to closed community forum. And let's see, move on to, any board announcements or committee reports before, that doesn't look quite right. I'm gonna say we're gonna move on to the consent calendar. And so if I could get a motion for the consent calendar.
I think it's safe this time.
Motion by Councilmember Darris, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Board Member Darris?
Yes.
Board Member Funk?
Yes.
Board Member Borbo?
Yes.
Chair Newsom?
Yes.
Chair Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
The funny thing is, Charles always has that pause in his, but he doesn't see it, but we all do. So he thinks we're all messed up. So. All right. Any board announcements or reports?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Seeing none, I will go ahead and adjourn to the City Council regular session. And the City Council will now be going into a closed session. And if you would like to speak on the closed session item, I'm going to have our city attorney announce in just one moment. You can go ahead and call 805-538-2888 to provide public comment via phone or, of course, here on the webinar. And I will go ahead and ask Mr. Pirrick to inform us what are the items that we will be going into closed session on.
Yeah, before I do that, you used the word adjourn, Mayor, and I think what you meant was we were in recess, and so now we're coming back into session on the regular meeting.
Well, I said that I adjourned the Public Financing Authority meeting, and I was coming back to the regular meeting.
All right, then I might have misheard. Okay, so I'll make the announcements on the closed session items. We have three. One is a conference with legal counsel existing litigation, government code section 549.56.9D1. The name of the case is Newt versus City of Atascadero. The case number is in the agenda. And we have another existing litigation matter, the same government code section. The name of that case is Sunderland versus City of Atascadero. That case number is also in the agenda. And the third item is a conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to government code section 549.56.9D2, one potential case, California Voting Rights Act.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead and go to the public. Is there any member of the public wishing to speak on the closed session? Go ahead and raise your hand or press star 9. Luke, do we have any callers?
We do not.
All right. We'll go ahead and close public comment, and we will
we are going to go into closed session. And if we have any reportable items from closed session, we will report those at our next regular city council meeting on January 25th. Mr. Pirik, are we okay? I'm kind of getting a little bit of a look from it.
No, you're good. I'm just...
All right. Wonderful. Well, great to see you all tonight. We'll see you next in 2 weeks. Bye. And Madam Council, you all have your closed session links?
Yeah, we'll see you in a few minutes.
See you next week.
Right, that's good stuff.